Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, a daily look through the main news of the day. Coming up in the next half hour, the Ministry of Defence has opposed the offshore wind farm off the island. We'll find out why in just a few minutes. Also tonight, 20-mile-an-hour speed limits were up for discussion again in the House of Keys this morning. All got a little bit heated, actually. We'll find out more about that too. We also hear why several buildings will be turning orange over the next few weeks. And Isle of Man Athletics needs more coaches and volunteers to secure the future of the sport over here. We'll also look at the weather. There is another yellow weather warning for frost and icy patches that's just come into force. We'll have the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Christian Fastermy.
Fastermy. The Ministry of Defence has formally objected to the proposed Morvannin offshore wind farm. It's warning the development would have a significant detrimental impact on military and aviation operations. A Douglas East MHK is questioning why there seems to be political reluctance to bring in stronger penalties for empty properties.
It's what we all heard on the doorstep in the 2021 general election. I really did think that we would see an amendment that wasn't as neutralising and diluting as the amendment that we got, which was essentially a retention of the status quo.
That's Joni Farragher, who sought to give local authorities new powers to fine landlords for leaving homes vacant or dilapidated, but the government blocked the move, citing its plan to end rates exemptions for damaged or ruinous buildings. There's a yellow weather warning for frost and icy patches tonight, came into force a few moments ago and remains until 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. And buildings around the island are going to be lit up from today as part of an international campaign to end violence against women.
We're colouring everything orange, which is the sign for hope.
Janet Olcock speaking there. She's the president of the Russian and Western Man branch, who explains which landmarks will be illuminated.
Douglas City Council lighting up the town hall, the shopping streets, the promenade, hopefully the Tower of Refuge too, the wedding cake, the hospital, the roundhouse at Braddon, the town hall in Port St Mary.
In the latest international news now, Sakir Starmer's told European leaders talks on a Ukraine peace deal are moving in a positive direction. A Ukrainian official says it's backing the essence of the plan, which some have feared gives too much to Russia. A teenager has been arrested on suspicion of conspiracy to commit murder after a 16-year-old boy was shot in Sheffield city centre yesterday. He remains in a critical condition in hospital. And visitors to English cities in the future could be charged for their stay. A local government secretary says mayors will be given new powers to introduce a tourist tax, which will be added onto accommodation fees. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thanks very much indeed, Christian. So the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Those frost and icy patches. There are risks of those on the higher ground tonight. So that yellow weather warning, as Christian mentioned, came into force at 5. It is in place until 3 tomorrow morning. Temperatures are going to fall quickly to zero after sunset. Well, I think the sun has set. There will be a widespread frost as well as some icy patches in areas that are wet. Increasing cloud amounts and stronger winds, though, are going to allow temperatures to recover before dawn tomorrow. So the general forecast, cold and clear to start with tonight. Overnight cloud will increase. Temperatures will recover with a freshening southwest wind, and it will be a frost and ice-free end to the night, in case you're interested. Overcast tomorrow, outbreaks of rain and drizzle developing as the south-southwest wind increases to become strong. It's going to be quite warm tomorrow as well. Top temperatures around 12 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
Cannells Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the North for over 30 years. Supplying homegrown wheats, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Cannells on Facebook.
Direct cremation is just that, An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
It's exactly 5 past 5 here on Update. Well, as we just heard in the headlines, the Ministry of Defence has raised serious concerns about the Morvannon offshore wind farm. Christian has run up the stairs. He's with me now. Fastamai, Christian. So just tell us first, what is the MOD saying?
Yeah, Fastamai, Beth. So the MOD has formally objected to the plans at this stage, and their main concern is the impact the turbines would have on air traffic control radar at BAE Warton Aerodrome. The site would sit around 11 kilometres off Macold, but the radar can actually detect objects far beyond that, and the MOD says the turbines would generate interference that the air traffic controllers can't actually manage safely.
So what sort of problems are they talking about there?
Well, they say large offshore turbines can create false radar returns, and that masks real aircraft and even desensitise, sorry, I'm not speaking properly, the radar in certain areas. And the MOD argues that could make it harder to track aircraft movements and maintain situational awareness in busy airspaces. They've also highlighted impacts on the, I'm going to try and say this, Eskmil's firing range and the risk of structures becoming physical obstructions.
Good pronunciation there. So is there, I suppose the question, is there any room for compromise at all?
So the MOD notes that the developer has acknowledged the issue and that mitigation is discussed in the environmental impact documents, but it says that as things stand, it must object unless a solution can be agreed. So what happens next will remain to be seen, but it is a significant hurdle for the project. We have contacted the government for a comment. It's since responded with a short statement. I'll just read it to you. Quote, the public consultation was an important part of the process of examination of the application that has been delivered and was designed to bring out all interested parties who may wish to support the proposals or those who have concerns and for those to be formally lodged. It concludes by saying, as stated before, during this process, the government will not be able to comment on any specific aspect of the proposals whilst the examination process is live, nor comment on any particular comments raised as part of the consultation and examination.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. You can read that government statement in full on this story, which is on the Manx Radio website. But we just want to bring you a little bit more reaction to this now. Christian spoke with Garth MHK Andrew Smith, who's in the House of Keys, when we published this story, and he's told us what his initial thoughts were.
Obviously, I've been in the House of Keys sitting today, and it's only just come to my attention. But obviously, it does throw a new dimension into the whole mix of views regarding this, because if they are now, the Ministry of Defence, are raising such concerns, and they are responsible for our international security, and recognising some of the movements we've seen in shipping are both above water and below water in recent days, and they've got serious concerns because of the radar interference and possible intelligence because of the interference from this, then I think it's a major thing that we do need to consider, yes, certainly.
And do you think the Council of Ministers can reasonably progress this without making some very, very significant changes like the MOD have suggested?
Well, obviously, I've not seen the detail of the MOD response. But as I say, from my perspective, in the early days, I've just, you know, learnt about it, then I would certainly suggest that serious consideration and thinking needs to be made, especially from an objection raised by what I would suggest is a very important body.
That's Garth MHK Andrew Smith giving us his initial reaction to news that the MOD has opposed the Morvannon wind farm. Coming up to 9 minutes past 5, well, the subject of 20-mile-an-hour speed limits in residential areas has been up for discussion in the House of Keys again this morning. The Infrastructure Minister, Dr Michelle Hayward, faced questions about the traffic order currently out to consultation, and it did lead to a rather heated exchange with the Speaker of the House of Keys having to step in.
Just to say that we sent the draft order through to the Chief Constable on Friday the 7th of November, so he had it before it went on public release and before it was published, so he has had time to consider it. He does hold a number of bits of data around this, and we've had discussions at length with the road policing unit and their officers about the level and quality of the data they have. I don't have that data to present here today, so I wouldn't like to speculate on figures, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Thomas. Thank you very much. I think the public didn't really have it in Douglas for two or three days after it was announced that they had it, because you know I'm always very helpful, and I was pleased to bring it to the attention of Douglas City Council that they should have it available on their counter for me to pick up if I wanted to. But anyhow, I have it now, and I've circulated it to members, still waiting for it from the DOI, but as it happens, but hey, can still hope. My question is this. Can the Minister confirm that she's misquoted the law when she talks about consultation, because the procedure for making an order is laid out in law. So where the department proposes to make an order, it should propose a draft of the order and cause notice of the proposal to be published in at least one newspaper published and circulating in the island. And that advert has to invite objections. The only person who's consulted now is the Chief Constable. So can the Minister confirm that that's right, or does she want to deny the law?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. No, I'm not denying the law. We are taking a rather wider view of allowing everyone to submit any comments they like. Some of those may be objections, some of those maybe not, and we will take all of those on board.
And they'll all be in edge.
No, they won't. Will you
order,
stop?
Order. Right. I'm going to allow Ms. Edge to ask a question. I am going to encourage the Honourable Member for Onken to not continue to tackle from a sedentary position.
I knew you'd tackle
now,
to beside
me. Order, having just advised the Honourable Member not to do it, I don't. Order! Order! Don't expect it to carry on. I'm going to warn the Honourable Member.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh dear. All happening in the House of Keys this morning. So that was the Speaker of the House of Keys there, Ewan Watterson, responding to some heckling from the Onken corner of the chamber. Coming up to 11 and a half minutes past five. And we're going to stay with DOI now, because more than 20 of their projects are apparently being held up by the island's coal tar issue. Now, the hazardous waste material can't be disposed of in landfill, and the DOI's current store is full. One of the biggest schemes to be held up is the Balthane roundabout in Ballasalla and the planned bypass there. Again, Dr. Michelle Haywood says specialist advisers have now come up with a solution.
The department will reuse approximately 1,100 tonnes of asphalt waste containing coal tar within the completion of Ballasalla Bypass and the construction of the new Balthane roundabout. The coal tar waste material will be processed at Turkeylands Quarry, a licensed facility with strict environmental controls, before being incorporated into a bound sub-base layer beneath the road. The asphalt waste containing coal tar will be fully encapsulated within a stabilised cement-bound or foamed bitumen mix and sealed under multiple asphalt layers and a bitumen spray, creating a low permeability structure that greatly reduces water ingress and leachate risk. This approach was informed by site investigations, which identified no groundwater within a metre of the finished road level. Additional safeguards, such as dilution with virgin aggregates, rapid coverage after placement and positive drainage, further minimises any environmental risk, ensuring robust containment that protects groundwater and surrounding ecosystems. This design creates a robust, low permeability barrier that prevents leaching and protects groundwater. All handling and storage will comply with the hazardous waste regulations, including impermeable hard standing, controlled drainage and monitoring under a waste disposal licence issued by DEFA. Additional safeguards include dust suppression, PPE for operatives and positive surface drainage to minimise the risks of any contamination. This approach ensures the safe reuse of material, reduces disposal requirements and mitigates environmental impact. At the moment, we have so much coal tar waste stored that we do not have any more licensed facilities in which we can store coal tar waste. It is holding up over 20 jobs across the island, where we cannot go and dig up roads because of the coal tar waste that's underneath them, and we have nowhere to put it or any way of reprocessing it. So this is one scheme that will deal with the backlog of that, and I fully support the engineer's recommendations in this matter.
Mr. Glover,
do we have a time as to when all this work at the Balthane roundabout will start?
I am currently anticipating that it starts somewhere next year, but we are obviously having to work around the restrictions that will be needed on the road use and fit that around TT and the Southern 100. And so we're timing that works out quite carefully, but I am hoping that it will be starting next year.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, again. 14 minutes past five. So over the next couple of weeks, you might notice various buildings around the island are being lit up in orange. And it's all part of a campaign to end violence against women. Organised by the international Inner Wheel organisation, Orange the World will see landmarks around the globe take part in the event. Janet Alcock is the president of the Russian and Western Man branch and has been talking to Amy.
Inner Wheel is
an international organisation. So we're bringing to the attention of the world abuse to women and children and hoping that we can help to end the violence. It'll take some time, but we've got over 100,000 members worldwide, so it's a fair-sized organisation. And of course, we're colouring everything orange, which is the sign for hope. We have got Douglas City Council lighting up the town hall, the shopping streets, the promenade, hopefully the Tower of Refuge too, the wedding cake, the hospital, the roundhouse at Braddon, the town hall in Port St Mary.
Do you think that by the sheer number that are taking part, it just shows how much this issue is supported here on the Isle of Man?
Yes, it's been very easy to get those buildings lit up, very approachable, everybody that I've been to, and they're all very keen to help support us. We are supporting victim support here on the island, and they do look after abused women and children.
And to try and help raise awareness and some money, you're also organising a walk as well, aren't you? So tell me about that.
On Tuesday afternoon, we're planning to walk from Port St Mary Town Hall as far as the golf club, and then we'll have refreshments there and walk back to the town hall, by which time we're hoping that the town hall will be illuminated orange.
That's Janet Alcock talking to Amy there. And that walk, if you'd like to take part, it's taking place from 2:30. Oh, it was at 2:30 today, so you're too late. 5:15 now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing to report on the police pages. Just a reminder that we have got that yellow weather warning for icy patches, particularly on the higher ground. And the main things when it comes to temporary lights, there are some still on Saddle Road. That's for emergency gas repairs near the Belafton Manor Hill Junction. Also some restrictions to traffic at the bottom end of Belafton Manor Hill as well. In Onchan, temporary lights on King Edward Road. That's between Groudle and the old Liverpool Arms. And in Laxey, still those temporary lights on the Ramsey Road, all okay down at the airport. The maximum due in at around about 5:30, heading out again at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
So plans are progressing for a new sheltered housing building and commissioner's office space in Laxey. Garth commissioners are hoping to take over the former Prince's Motor site to build new accommodation for residents, and it's due to submit a planning application for that soon. Julie Mattin, who runs the local authority's Coolroy property, says it breaks her heart to tell people there's a 2-year wait for accommodation in the area.
Probably 9-10 years ago was when this first came up, where we realised that there was a lot of people on our waiting list for sheltered housing in the Laxey area, and people don't really want to move out of the area if they don't have to. So we put a call out for sites, and that was the only site that came back. Then moving slightly forward, you know, it's gone backwards and forwards. It's been to the department, it's been back, you know, different commissioners have come on board. The issues that we have, you know, of the number of people who are ageing who need to be in sheltered is still there. There was also a problem with the offices of the commissioners themselves and the cost that it was going to be to repair those. And, you know, we put our heads together and thought, well, why can't we do both in the same place? So since then, we've been pushing it, but it is still a long, drawn-out process. But we're hopefully coming toward a conclusion now, and maybe in the next year or so, we will be on our way to building it.
So how needed is sheltered accommodation in Laxey and the wider Garth area?
Our waiting list really sort of sits about sort of 16, 17 people, and we currently only have 34 properties. But if you look at the wider area, again, I've spoken to people, you know, over the years, and because there's no 2-bedroom properties, because they weren't allowed to bring animals, which they now are, and because the size of the area has grown, people are constantly, every day I'm getting a phone call from somebody saying, do you know the availability of sheltered in Laxey? And it's heartbreaking, you know, to say to somebody, you could be waiting 2 or 3 years before we can offer you a place.
That is Julie Mattin from Garth Commissioners. She was talking to our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper. It is 19 minutes past five here on Update, and work is ongoing in Isle of Man Athletics to get more coaches and volunteers to help out in the sport on the island for the long term. Isle of Man Athletics Development Officer Ollie Lockley says numerous courses and schemes have been helping, but says some areas still need some work going forward.
Athletics is strange because it is effectively several sports in one sport, which makes it a blessing and a curse. So I think it's obvious to say that road running in particular is taken off and is very popular among all age groups. The areas that do need work are obviously more so the field events, I think, like the throwing events, the jumps, and even race walking is doing quite well. There's always a limited amount of people, but they seem to be quite consistent with who they get and the people that stay there. So the field events are gonna need work. So it might be a case of trying to get into the schools and approach it that way. We do have a CPD course. So England Athletics tutor is coming over next year, who was going to help with teachers and coaches to develop throw skills and throwing events. So that'll be great. And then, you know, hopefully we can get that into the schools. And then if we just get, you know, a few kids across the schools to come and join the club, that'll be great.
Just how vital is it that we are seeing new coaches coming into the sport and sometimes into these specialist areas to make sure that people just have a chance to have a go at it, whether they want to have big ambitions or not?
Exactly. That's a challenge. Obviously, with the level one, well, the assistant coach and athletic coach awards that we put on, like level one, the old level one, level two, you effectively can coach all disciplines with the exception of like the pole vault and the hammer, I believe. So doesn't mean to say you can't, it just means that, you know, you have to just do further qualifications to get there. And obviously then it's trying to keep them in the sport and like you say, trying to make people aware that this is an option, that if you do want to do pole vault, then we have that avenue where someone could go down that route. You know, hopefully if we can just make more people aware that this is an option, then it'll go from there. My priority is probably more also looking at the officiating side of things and trying to get more officials involved. It's a little harder than the coaching because there's so many different officiating roles that you can do, and then just trying to get people into the sport and to stay, and hopefully we can just have a flourishing sporting community where people are enjoying themselves.
That is Ollie Lockley there. There is a sports cast of that interview in full as well, you can find on the Manx Radio website. Now, in August of this year, the Manx charity Pet Food Pantry issued an urgent appeal saying demand on its services had skyrocketed. It was set up in 2023 in response to the rising cost of living, and now we're just a month away from Christmas, it's issued a fresh appeal for donations and support. Lewis has been talking to founder Helen McCaffer.
So we've still been incredibly busy since then, and we've still have a lot of referrals from different organisations within the island. It just seems to be a time where people are still just really struggling, and more so at this time of year because we've come back into the period of cold weather, so people's utility bills and things are higher. And obviously with Christmas round the corner, people just financially feel the pinch a bit more. So we have a lot more referrals from the likes of Salvation Army, government bodies and things like that. We are under a bit of a strain with donations.
Currently, how many people are you supporting around the island?
Probably island-wide, a couple of hundred at any one time. Some people use a short term, some people more longer term, but we are finding we're getting more and more new service users.
You mentioned last time that this service is to help people who already have pets, isn't it? Who have just fallen on hard times.
Yeah, so people that have existing pets, like we help a lot of elderly or sometimes people who are terminally ill or have illnesses and they've had to stop work for a short period of time and the other family member has to stop to look after them. So it's people who have existing pets within their family and we're trying to keep them within the family because obviously our shelters and other animal charities on the island, they're strained as well and pretty full. So if we can help to keep people's pets within the home, that is our aim.
That is Helen McCaffer from Pet Food Pantry talking to Lewis. Now, the fifth Manx Bard released her latest collection of poetry at the weekend. Annie Kizik debuted A Suggestions of Wrens at St. Port's... Here she is.
There's lots of different poems about lots of different things, but one of them I had the title of A Suggestion of Wrens about. I mentioned this online to a few people I know in the poetry community away from the island, and somebody said, that's a really good title. So I thought, right, if it's a good enough title for a poem that people are saying that, I can use it. And really, there are wrens in the book. Scattered here and there, there are poems about wrens. Not lots, but, you know, a presence there.
Yes. And so when it comes to publishing a collection, do you actually deliberately work towards a specific collection, or are you right? I know you're writing all the time, day in, day out, and inspired by all sorts of things on this wonderful island of ours. But do you get to a critical mass of poems and think there's a collection in there?
Yes, quite quickly. The process of making sort of piles on the floor, of everything you think might be a possibility, rather than consciously think which direction is this going to go in? Is it going to have one sort of overall theme? Am I going to be working in to one sort of end, or is it going to be a random collection? So I sort of get all these things and then spread them out flat, so the whole floor is covered in pieces of A4 paper, and then the cat will come and sit on them and mess them about. And then some of them I'll turn over, or some I'll think, maybe why aren't I sure about this? Oh, it goes on for about a month, this process, and I've got a couple of people who I trust very, very much in terms of their poetic judgment. So one being my sister, but they're very honest.
Oh, that's Annie Kizik talking to Howard there. It's sport time now. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I. Starting tonight with motorsport, and two-time Isle of Man TT podium finisher Mike Brown will compete on sport bike machinery at next year's event. The Cork-born rider is linking up with Team Melbury Laycock Racing to ride Patton Power in the class in 2026. Sport bike machines are being introduced to the TT for the first time next year and will run alongside Super Twin bikes in the newly named Sport Bike TT Race 1 and Sport Bike TT Race 2. Both of Brown's TT podiums so far have come in the Super Twin category, with a second place finish in 2023 and third place in one of the races in 2024. Well, on the move, the rider says he's really looking forward to riding the Patton, also adding that the bike and I have unfinished business. Elsewhere on the Snaefell Mountain course in 2025, Brown enjoyed success at the Classic TT in August as he took top spot in the historic senior classic race on the Peter Lodge Racing Norton 500. Elsewhere in pool, the Isle of Man will once again play host to the big finale to the International Pool Association season next year. The organisation has confirmed the island will host the 2026 IPA Grand Finals at the Comus Hotel in Santon from the 11th to the 15th of November. It'll be the second year running. The last round of the series has taken place here after the 2025 finals were held at the same venue earlier this month. The Isle of Man has already hosted the Grand Finals on multiple occasions in recent years. And finally, in athletics, Ryan Corran and Krista Kane were among the winners during the 2025 Sidquirk Half Marathon at the weekend in the south of the island. Running through Ballasalla in Castletown, Corran completed the course in 1 minute 12.52 seconds to take the men's an overall victory, over 20 seconds ahead of Corbin Sharder, who finished second. Elsewhere, Krista Kane was the fastest female runner and finished fourth overall in the event, which saw over 350 people cross the line at Ronalds Way Industrial Estate. Kane's display saw her also break the women's course record, previously held by Sarah Webster, whilst Corran's performance put him into the top 20 in the men's all-time standings. Meanwhile, Neil Wade and Michelle Turner won their respective categories in the race walk with times of 1 minute 44.2 seconds and 2 minutes 8.45 seconds.
I'm exhausted just listening to that, Rob. Thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update tonight. Thank you so much for your company. Coming up next, it's Countryside with Simon and Kiri. Lots of great stuff in that programme tonight, including finding out why it's important women feel comfortable in the farming industry as they increasingly take on more roles in agriculture. And also, have you ever heard of a dog nativity? Well, there's one coming up in Gerby. You can find out all about that in Countryside tonight. At 6, then, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. The folk show with John Barker is on from 9. And Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.